Welcome to the AAA NFT podcast, all about affordable NFTs, bringing you from 0 to 60 in the non-fungible token world without breaking the bank, with your hosts Andrew, aka Rantom, and George from Mostly Stable on Zedrun, who will help you navigate new projects, interview expert guests, and explore NFT trends. So whether you're on your first or 50th NFT, we're going to have something for you. And as a quick note, we are not, I repeat, not financial advisors, and nothing in this podcast should be taken as investment advice. Alrighty, disclaimer over, let's get to it. This week on All About Affordable NFTs, we're talking sports and the growing world of sports and NFTs. I guess that's the theme, pretty much covers it. How's it going, Andrew?
Going well. Yeah, excited to talk about this one. It's, NFTs and sports. I think sports were a big part of what sort of helped launch NFTs into more of, I wouldn't say the mainstream quite yet, but more of the forefront and get them where they are now.
Yeah, audience on-ramp for sure. And that's why it's exciting, because you're bringing, and you don't want it just to be a monoculture of art, or games. You really need to see it in different themes and different arenas. And frankly, pun intended, arena. NBA Top Shot, which we'll be touching on, is a part of that narrative for a lot of people whose first experiences were in fact that. But before we get into it, any news, any updates on your side of the fence there, Andrew? What's been going on?
Let's see what has been going on. There's always so much happening in NFT world. Let's see, something specific. I was just looking at a couple of projects on Art Blocks that I was pretty excited about, and I was really hoping to scoop up, and it seemed like some interest in Art Blocks had sort of maybe moved on. It wasn't quite as hot, and they've been doing these Dutch auctions where the price drops over time. And unfortunately, a lot of these projects are going faster than I'd expected, and before they get to the price that I'd be comfortable with. So that's been a little bit surprising to me that those have been selling as crazy high as they have. Some of these been minting at 4 or 5 ETH.
And that's just shocking.
And a lot of them are holding up pretty well in the secondary. So that's been interesting to watch. A little disappointing from the buyer side, when I'm hoping for those prices to get a little bit lower, because they are doing some really cool stuff, especially with some motion. And I'm liking the pieces, but I can also appreciate them without owning them.
Yeah, I'm paying attention to pretty regularly the price of Ethereum. And the fluctuations there that inevitably have sort of echoes, maybe not direct correlation, but echoes, I'd say, in the pricing in Zed and other platform and other projects. Certainly with regard to liquidity, and when prices go up, you can kind of see a little softening. When prices go down in ETH, that tightening up. And then when prices go down in ETH, you tend to hike, maybe get better deals. In dollars rather than in ETH, and so there's some fluctuations going on. I think ETH is at around like 3,000, as opposed to like when it piked up to close to 4. I mean, frankly, yes. It doesn't even matter when we're saying this, because that whole cycle could have already happened.
Right. Yeah. Right? And who knows what it's at? And it's tough to play the sort of ETH market when you are in NFTs, because you're running into liquidity issues when you least want them. If you are trying to play the,
I think the definition of a liquidity problem is you least want it.
True. This is a good point. Maybe redundant there, but I think you get my point in that if you're trying to play the US dollar market, you shouldn't really be in NFTs. They don't work well together. I'd say they sort of play against each other, and it's going to be tough. You should have enough liquidity that you should be okay with ETH running up, you know, it's hard to know what things could get to if it goes crazy, but you should also be happy that overall that it is going up.
Yeah. And to pull that back to our theme, that's that was one of the upsides, I think, of NBA Top Shot. The things that they really got right was, frankly, dancing that line pretty darn well of dollars and ETH. All right, Andrew, what do we have on our affordable project of the week or of the episode? Because we're more than weekly right now.
Yeah, we're too excited about
that. Too excited. We'll get tuckered out soon. Don't worry. There'll be less episodes, maybe.
Well, I think we're talking about a project called CAPTCHAs. And this is one that I think came to my attention maybe a month or so ago, maybe even a little bit before that. It was mentioned to me by someone that I've been working with over at SquiggleDAO. And it got my attention initially because it cannot be botted. You have to actually solve the CAPTCHA in order to mint, and it's actually on chain, so that you cannot get around this by minting it directly through the contract. It's not just a sort of Web2 wrapper around it. It's actually built into the contract where it's got to be solved correctly in order to get the mint or to successfully mint. And if you get it wrong, you will lose gas. And I did do that on one or two occasions, unfortunately. It still attempts a transaction, and apparently it determined that I was a bot on a couple occasions, and it only made me more resolved to get another one when I got it wrong. I had to go and really prove that I am a human, although at times I wonder if I am becoming somewhat bot and they've already picked up on this ahead of me.
So this is interesting, and I want to take maybe a step backward. The reason why I think the NFT community is particularly interested, alarmed, concerned about bots is that they're becoming more common, and frankly, you don't need a lot of them to ruin things like drops. You know, we mentioned the Time Magazine drop that happened a little while ago in September. But one of the things I certainly read about it, and it looked that way, is that there was definitely bot activity and buying up those in an instant, right? And so I'm here trying to click, or you're trying to click, and the bot's going to beat you in the contract and immediately get and front run you as soon as it's open. So yeah. Something has to be done. I think there's ways of putting CAPTCHAs up front, but this program's interesting. And you know, disclosure, I think we both as of this point are CAPTCHA owners of this. So let's go through our checklist though. Okay, going to the top. The team behind this, like, what do we know about them?
We don't know a whole lot about the team outside of what is in the Discord. The team is in there. They are relatively active. I wouldn't say it's a really active Discord. It's quiet. Most days they are there to answer questions. It seems more that they are building the product and working to sort of form some relationships more behind the scenes than I am somewhat used to seeing in a lot of NFT projects. They definitely have some technical chops and have put out a lot of information that is over my head in terms of the complexity of how they are trying to solve this issue. But I can follow the gist of it, and I understand the general method that they're trying to use to solve this. It seems solid what they're trying to do, and there's definitely a lot of incentive to find a solution to this, at least from a buyer perspective, that has lost out to bots on many occasions. It'd be great to see a solution here. And it does seem like the team has a good understanding of the issue. Have you noticed much more about the team that I may have overlooked, George?
I just care that they're responsive. They have technical chops. They have the ability to code. They're not just marketers, and that can be a good thing and bad thing. They're working also on partnerships, right? So the success of this project is actually their ability to partner with other projects looking for this type of solution. And, you know, it's kind of like investing in the certain type of plumbing. And you're like, well, if they go with copper, you know, too bad, lead, you're not going to win. I will just some other stats here. There's still ability to mint. Mint is at 0.05 ETH per warning from Andrew. Make sure you get that capture right.
And there are a couple that I think will be, I don't know if they're going to be able to be solved. I noticed a couple that are almost black on black or very difficult to read.
But a warning sign here that the mint is at 0.05. ETH, but the floor is at 0.01 right now. So like, ooh. Yikes. You're not gonna have a lot of people minting things if the floor is below the mint. So we're in a weird place, but it could present an opportunity. I put some bids out on the floor just to maybe grab one more. So like that is, if we're going down the checklist of like how the secondary is doing and where we are in the life cycle of it, we're in this, you know, didn't finish the mint post-launch, doldrums a little bit. So that's an asterisk.
Not a real active one. I, you know, definitely wouldn't recommend minting at this point. You can pick up on secondary if you are interested, but I'd go check out the Discord, see if it makes sense. And seems like something that is interesting in a team that thinks they can actually, or seems like they can actually solve this problem. You know, we'll see.
Yeah. So talk to your doctor. Results may vary. I say we move into the theme. I'm excited about this theme because sports. And there's been a recent, I want to go right to the recent announcement because that's what kind of got us going here, that Dapper Labs is teaming up with the NFL, the National Football League, for those of you non-sportsies, and the Players League Association to create digital video highlights of NFTs. For the fans, Dapper Labs, you may recognize from such epic successes as NBA Top Shots, which I know, Andrew, is something that you were in super early. I was in super late and no longer really I'm super active there. But I think this is an incredible piece because the NFL is like a little bit more old school, I'd say, with their marketing, not as adventurous as the NBA, and they're approaching it with, I think, a very unique strategy that's going to be tied to like the weekly cadence of football and reach a larger audience. I mean, it's something significant when you consider that the NFL is the owner of one of the, as far as I know, one of the largest sporting event watches of the Super Bowl, right? Like that in terms of audience share is sizable, and you could see opportunity there.
Yeah, absolutely. I could see a future where you buy an NFT as your ticket to the Super Bowl and have a collectible to hold on to for life that has given you access and all sorts of things. But taking a step back, I think it is big that the NFL is getting into this. NBA Top Shot was obviously huge in bringing so many people into NFTs. It was sort of a natural thing for most sports fans who collected cards at one time to get the idea of buying a pack of digital cards. You know, they couldn't have made it much more analogous to the real world collecting, in that you literally just bought a pack, you opened the pack, and then your cards were revealed. I do this with my kids, and it's still exciting, you know, with real baseball cards. And then there was really exciting doing the Top Shot thing. So Dapper Labs really nailed at the whole marketing around it. The feeling you get when you open that pack was cool. Like you were excited to see that video highlight, see who you got. But I mean, the highlight itself was cool. The ones that they picked, it was fun to see, you know, the different kind of, you know, they did have different sort of rarities to them as well. And the whole process, it was big lead up to it. You know, a lot of times you couldn't get the packs, but they'd have a big queue that they'd have entertainment, you know, in the way of people talking about it forever. So you'd be just getting more excited. So I'm really excited to see what the NFL and Dapper can come up with. It's obviously a rabid fan base and huge money there. So it'll be fun to see you know, what they're able to come up with. It's interesting in that NFL players have been participating in NFTs in some ways. And I think you've had some experience with that, right, George?
Yeah, it's interesting because there's an inevitability to it. Imagine you're sitting in the seat of the NFL and suddenly you're watching, you know, some of your players like, you know, Tom Brady and Gronkowski and Mahomes, like go out there and just launch their own NFTs. Like, this is going to happen. People with celebrity, with attention, with audience are going to try to monetize that with NFTs for better or worse. On the worst side, you could have people that are essentially leveraging your brand, the NFL and your league, to, you know, shill their goods in the digital sense. And what does that do to your brand? And how does that separate it and segment it out? Imagine turning back the clock if you were a, you know, baseball collector, baseball card collector back in the day. Imagine if you didn't have like a sort of certifying body like Tops and the like going through and making sure that they were all official, they all matched. You'd have silliness, right? You'd have absolutely silliness. But yeah, you're right. I actually own when Mahomes did his drop earlier, and I think it was like Q1 or so. I bought one of his Showtime ones. I thought it looked cool. I figured, I don't know, he's the best player in the NFL. That's probably going to be worth something. So far, it hasn't really borne out. It was, you know, it's a hold. It was a play for actually like assuming that there are cards eventually. Like, well, like, wait a minute, they're going to lock down all players from ever creating this because they can't let that happen. So there might be a sort of unique angle there. But right now, we're in the if we're talking about the life cycle, we're in the trough. We're in the trough there, where essentially it's probably worth less than what I purchased it for, in part because there's not a community there. The players are not connected. The audience, right? The other side of that market is not there. Football fans are not here collecting. And so it's a sort of wait and see. And that's what I'm excited about Dapper doing this, because they architected NBA Top Shot. You heard the excitement Andrew was talking about, opening these packs, his kids like sitting there being like, oh my gosh, who'd you get? Oh my gosh, it's Draymond Green, oh, he's dunking. But here's the other thing. Like, let's say you just jumped on that platform. You didn't know about NFTs. It is a experience first platform, which means you could drop in your credit card and create a login that you're familiar with. And you didn't have to necessarily come in with that like knowledge of like, okay, kids, wait, I gotta give them a MetaMask on. Like, no, if you want this thing, here you go, purchase it, jump in, and by the way, you'll learn as you go. They're incredible. They're just, you know, they should be given a lot of credit for on-ramping as many people as they have.
Yeah, absolutely. It was my first road into NFTs, and that was, I guess, the summer of 2020 when they debuted, and it seemed odd at the time. It didn't. I remember that first season, you could buy the packs for quite a while, at least with, I think you had to have early access, but they were available for a long time. And I think it was just $9 a pack. And, you know, that looked crazy later on when it became, you know, became a point where you had to wait in line for hours, compete with others for drops, and, you know, potentially pay hundreds or thousands for a pack, for the premium packs. You know, it really shows you how far they took that in a short period of time. You know, it's not the only company doing things like this in the sports world. You know, I saw that just recently, So Rare, a French company, just that's doing soccer cards. You know, the other football, they just raised $680 million to continue building out their platform. It's essentially a fantasy football type of platform. I am not super familiar with it. I'm not all that into soccer or, you know, international football, but I think that is significant. Obviously, that is a big global game and is getting a lot of attention. And if it's getting that sort of money coming in, I can only imagine that it's going to attract even more players there. You know, I don't know exactly how they do this, the fantasy thing. I don't know if they have a way to reward their players directly, but you've got to imagine that some of that is going to find its way into that ecosystem and just attract even more interest to the NFT and sports melding.
Yeah. I mean, also in the summer, we should know, we were just talking about baseball, but Topps also had, you know, their MLB official drop an NFT collection. They did it on the Wax network, and which in some respect is smart. Wax is just another one of these networks, kind of like Ethereum, unless you do smart contracts, but they do it gasless. So like, it's just no gas fee on it. However, I would say it is in the trough headed toward the wastebasket, in the sense that like, I haven't heard much coming from it. It's hard to sort of analyze how much it's actually been trading and how it's been doing, but it's like completely lacking hype. And frankly, part of that I believe is the experience. The experience I'll define as the following. One is for onboarding, right? Let's say you don't know very much about NFTs, but you like baseball. Okay, you enter into this ecosystem, and I'll be honest, like Wax is a tough one to get into. There's like different systems, different wallets, and the onboarding of turning just like your credit card dollars into currency to even buy these things is difficult. I remember even just trying to be on the drop. I know what I'm doing, and it just straight up just blocked me for random reasons, despite effort. So I was like, all right, well, that's a bit of friction. That's probably bad for a market developing. The other reason in the category of experience, which is what ultimately, after all said and done and the hype's done and I like died down, it is a two image card, the front and the back. They did no manner of animation. They did no manner of creative. It is just a lift and shift from a baseball card to a digital, which is like kind of like what so many folks did in the dawn of the internet. They're like, oh, we got this magazine. Let's just put it up as a PDF. We were done with the internet. Like that's what they did. And you're like, just, they kind of dropped on the upside of what could have been like a beautiful collectible.
Interestingly, I noticed that Topps is dropping a season two or series two, similar to how they do their baseball or their physical cards. They've got a new drop coming up in, let's see, just a few days from now. It's on October 4th for what it's worth when you're listening to this. And it is saying that it's $9 per pack, which makes me think that maybe they do have a fiat way of paying for this. I'm just looking at this now, so don't have a whole lot of information, but it will be interesting to see how much they learn from that first drop. It was disappointing because it was one that I really wanted to like and be able to start collecting. And I was disappointed. It was one that, I didn't even get to the point of getting Wax because I don't know. I was running into problems, and then hearing from you all the issues you ran into a little bit further along the way, and it deterred me from ever even trying. And it's something that I've heard from other NFT collectors who are baseball fans. So I don't think that, I don't think that they were even close to hitting their potential with that one. I think it will be difficult for them to come back and have a home run right away. But there is potential that maybe they can put a few singles together and get something going. The bar is relatively low based on what they did the last time. I think we'll see if they can maybe get something more going, because there is so much interest and such a crossover, I think, between NFTs and sports, in both the ways to activate people and engage people, but also just the collector mentality. There's a lot of crossover there.
Yeah, another way of measuring their success, because I feel like we're being like a little anecdotal, like, oh, it sucked a little bit, is to look at the SPAC that rolled them up, the stock price MUDs, kind of the tail of the tape is there. It peaks at like a high of 17 and change, and it's currently trading at like just under 10, right? It lost half its value.
Okay.
So you're like, all right.
I think there are a lot of issues with SPACs as well. I don't know how much we can.
Just saying, the financial markets are not valuing this project the way they would others potentially.
Absolutely, yeah, and I and even Buzz, Buzz is a lot in NFTs, and they don't have it. So
yeah,
We'll see if they.
We should note other things. So the WNBA Dapper also rolled in as well. So WNBA is out there. They did something La Liga as well. From the sports angle, you're going to see it. You're going to see it more and more. I think it's going to bring in new people to the space.
One interesting thing, we hadn't actually discussed talking about this, but we've seen, or I've seen more athletes using potential avatar projects, getting involved in the NFT space. And that's been interesting. You know, that's Steph Curry is one that notably has changed his avatar to a bored ape. And I know there are others, and that's something that I think was key in getting Top Shot's popular, or growing Top Shot's popularity, was that players eventually got involved with this. And I don't know how much, you know, at Top Shot was directly involved with the marketing of that. I don't recall exactly if they were using the players to market it initially, or if players were getting involved once they, you know, started hearing about this. But I think that that is meaningful when you can start getting the players involved and the fans can interact with them in that way. If they're going to be in, you know, changing their avatars, getting these other collections, you know, that can really start changing the public perception of what these are and, you know, how influential they can be in society now.
Yeah, there's a lot there. But again, you come back to the NBA being the most social media savvy of the leagues by an order of magnitude. Maybe that's a nature of how the game is just fundamentally played, and we're more intimate with the players, their faces, they're not covered in equipment, right? It's just
absolutely.
NBA has always right been there in front of you.
Great at marketing their players, and they have continued to do that. So, you know, we'll see if you know, if Dapper can sort of work their magic with the NFL, or if that is something unique to the NBA.
Yeah, but the evolution there, I hope that they go with it. Like, if you think about the, just the ecosystem of fantasy football. Is massive. It's absolutely massive. So the potential there is huge, and bringing in new people in a way that I would say I would trust Dapper above pretty much any other development agency out there.
Yeah, you've got to imagine that there's ways to involve a full like a full-fledged fantasy game in there in some way. If you could collect the different cards and hold them, I mean, I think that'd be pretty fun to do. And obviously fantasy is a great way to engage people on a weekly basis. It's, you know, it's potentially more popular than the actual games at this point. So if you can get people collecting and thinking that way, you know, they'd really have a hit there.
So while not a professional sport, you knew I was going to sneak it in. I do consider Zed horse racing a major sport, right? Like
absolutely.
I think that's a big attraction. And there's a not so subtle narrative inside of the ZZ community and things they put out there that it's like ethical horse racing. Let's just be honest. The act of horse racing these beautiful animals is probably going to be frowned upon in the future by our descendants. However, my grandfather loved racing. He went to the track. Like, I was introduced to it, like, through my father. I was like, there's a sentimental value there. So there's like something interesting when you combine the fact that they have a, you know, it's not gambling, it's a game of skill, Andrew, but digital horse racing, where you're choosing races and participating in this breeding and trying to make the same decisions that a true stable owner would make at, albeit lower stakes. Although I will say some of these horses are starting to go for real horse prices. You know, it's exciting to say, like, wait a minute, you know, is there an ethical way to do this and still a fun way to watch races and race horses in that sense. So, you know, keep an eye out for that. I think there's a lot of folks paying attention to them. And Andreessen dropped $20 million in Zed. They also, I think, backed, if I'm not mistaken, I think they put money behind Dapper in some way. I'll look that up real quick.
Yeah, that does ring a bell. I think they are somehow involved there. And if not, I imagine that there's other well-funded groups behind them. The sports and NFT, this melding, I think, is really, we're just starting to see the beginning of it. You know, we're going to see what Top Shot comes back with this year. They've definitely lost some of the momentum there, but I think we're going to see a lot more innovation come out of what they're doing. There's so many different ways that people can use these NFTs. And, you know, I know that we've heard things from various players and organizations talking about how they could potentially use NFTs even for tickets. And it's something that I mentioned with the Super Bowl. I think there's going to be a lot of use cases of getting fans involved.
I mean, you kidding me? Just the other episode, we were talking about the bright moments.
Bright.
Imagine if every ticket holder in the Super Bowl got a Super Bowl NFT, like, boom. What would that do? That drop would be sick.
Right. I mean, it's a lot, you know, it's a lot better than having just the ticket stub. I mean, the ticket stub, it's one thing, but you can turn it into so much more. That's a collectible that just gains value and gains, I don't know, even does more marketing for your event after the fact.
That just blew my mind. But just going back to, yeah, Andreessen Horowitz is a massive investor in Dapper Labs. They doubled down on the recent round that did $250 million in funding for Dapper, putting them at a valuation of $7.6 billion with a B.
Wow. Yeah, that's pretty massive.
Those are monies.
Well, that's exciting that the NFL is going to be partnering with them. Any word on when they will be getting good things going, or is that just an initial announcement?
I think it's the initial announcement, but again, in Dapper, I trust they probably have a plan.
Yeah, they may. They probably already have some things going on.
They probably needed to announce something though ahead though, because of the hype cycle. So it's a good question and I haven't seen anything. We'll update in the future. Hey, maybe it'll be part of our affordable future.
Yeah, hopefully.
Maybe. Possibly. I love, we thought we didn't have much to say on this topic.
Right.
Andrew before recording said, this might be a short one. Like, sure. Okay.
Oops.
Well, that's I think all I have. Anything else to cap off here, Andrew?
You know, I'm going to cut myself off and say that we should end it at this point. We can come back.
Enough, sir. You've been overserved. Thanks as always. Links will be, as promised, in the 3ANFT episode list. So thanks for joining us. This has been an episode of the AAANFT podcast, all about affordable NFTs. The episode notes and resources may be found at 3ANFT.com. In our show notes, again, 3ANFT.com. And that reminder, don't bet what you can't afford to lose. Remember, we are not financial advisors and nothing in this podcast should be taken as investment advice. Thanks for joining us. Hope you learned something.